You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
January 18th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Angle, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Tony Cincata as well. What is going on, gentlemen? What's up, Scotty?
I am feeling very good this morning for a variety of reasons.
Yeah?
Number one, one of our favorite listeners, Kelly from Tampa, sent us some FedEx, does some freshly baked cookies here in the studio.
Easy way to get to our hearts.
And there's also some canisters down in the producer room for Mike Florio and our crew.
It's interesting. She gave Mike Florio something.
Yes.
That's nice of him.
That is nice.
She sent us for the whole staff.
That's wonderful.
Enough, like,
hey, Kelly.
Canisters for everybody.
Over Kelly.
We love Kelly.
Good job, Kelly.
Yeah. Game time decisions today, 2 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
A great guest for Gabe Morency, Tom Brady Sr., so make sure you tune in.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, it's Tom Brady.
It's Tom Brady's dad.
Yes.
Huh.
And.
That's a big get.
As I told you I would.
Yeah.
I played daily fantasy basketball last night.
Did you win?
And I cashed.
All right.
Yes.
I'm pumped for you, Scott.
Yeah, it wasn't much. But still,
hey,
you know,
you won. You won more than I did last night. I'm a loser.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Would you guys like to hear what I had?
Sure.
You weren't the whole show.
You weren't the 14%.
What's that?
You weren't the 14% that left Kyle Lowry in there and blamed everybody else.
The Kyle Lowry thing, I'll get to that first before I get to my lineup. It's like, you know, people were complaining to me, like on Twitter, when I was talking about, you know, DeRozan starting cold and how well Corey Joseph played at a career game. In fact, with Corey Joseph, I'd like to find if there's a stat. Like, can I find out how many points he had driving to the basket? Because just like he penetrated like all night long, and like the Nets didn't stop him. He had a career game last night. But the big story, like Tony said, was Kyle Lowry last night getting deactivated about 15 minutes before tip off. And people were blaming everybody else, like Tony said.
Yeah.
This may sound like an advertisement, but it's friggin' true. I get the daily Roto-Up lineup alerts in my inbox, and 13 minutes before tip-off, I open up lineup alert number 4, and I go, Kyle Lowry's out. Like, 13 minutes before, I had enough time to take Lowry out of one of my guard spots, move Goran Dragic to point guard, put DeRozan in his shooting guard, and then move Lou Williams to straight guard on DraftKings. So there were a lot of people like blaming other people, but like Tony said, but you know, if you got the lineup alert, you knew, because I watched the Nets broadcast. I watched the whole Nets game last night, and you know, about 2 minutes before tip off, they showed Kyle Lowry that he was dressed, but he wasn't playing. But
yeah. I didn't get that alert. I had Kyle Lowry in my lineup last night. So
yeah.
I don't worry about it.
See,
take it
we
like
were,
a man.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole thing. Like, people don't get it. Like, it's so crazy to me. Me and Benny last night were doing a show when all this came out, right? And of course, I had 7 different lineups last night, so I had to change him, which was a crazy. And I missed Lowry at 1, but that's all right. It was a $5 single entry, so it wasn't a big deal. But, I was like, Jesus Christ, right? And then I go on Facebook and Twitter, and I'm reading about how we got to boycott DraftKings and FanDuel. Take some responsibility, people.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Right?
You got to, if you're going to play, there's millions of dollars at stake every night. You're only going to get the best players, and you're going to get people sitting at their computers all night. And late swaps would not have helped you last night. That news was out there. The news on Dwight Howard was out there the day before.
Yep.
You guys weren't available for paying attention. And if you play late swaps, you don't understand. Now you have to be at your computer at 7, at 7:30, at 8:30, at 9, and 10, and 10:30. You can't even handle one starting time. So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, like Tony said, this was nobody else's fault but your own. I realized playing daily last night that I was going to have to sit with my email box open Twitter and go to Daily Roto where like there's a lineup alerts tab, and I kept checking it and checking it and checking it. And especially right before 7:30, it's like I was hitting refresh because, you know, it's a window that you got to be committed, but you have to be committed.
All right.
And the NBA, though, the problem is with the NBA, folks. That's, if you're going to blame someone, the problem's with the NBA. I suggest that they have an equity stake in FanDuel, the NBA. I would suggest that Nigel or Jason meet with the NBA. This guy seems to be pro-gambling. This guy seems to be pro-DFS. And ask them to put in place starting lineups like they do in Major League Baseball so they get it out to press. Like they do in the National Football League, with an hour and a half prior to kickoff, you have to have your active roster and ask to put lineups together 30 minutes prior to the game. They might not do it, but it doesn't hurt to ask, and yeah. I think that's the only solution to this.
Players Association, somebody like that, it needs to be some kind of way. Even for your opponents, you know, they deserve to know if you're not going to have somebody in your lineup.
And you're also not asking for very much. You're asking for a half hour, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Asking for anything crazy like a day before. You're asking for a half hour.
Let's look at the flip side, though. Let's look at the flip side. If you did pay attention, you were rewarded. Corey Joseph had a career game, 33 points. This guy was driving to the hoop all freaking night, and nobody stopped him. And the guy was, a little bit of 3,000 on DraftKings. I left Lou Williams in. I probably could have even got more cash. But, you know, Joseph, who learned under Tony Parker, you know, in San Antonio, and a lot of these former Spurs who have, moved to other teams, everybody says, oh, you know, they're a waste. Corey Joseph took total advantage of the opportunity. And if you put him in, if you paid attention,
Scott,
completely rewarded.
Here's the thing, and not everybody has the opportunity to do that.
I agree.
Not everybody has the opportunity to do that, to sit down at the computer until literally 7:30. Everybody cannot. Not everybody.
But if you don't have the commitment,
majority can't do that. You can't talk about the commitment.
So you know what?
They want everybody to play these games. They just don't want people that can sit in front of the computer to play these games.
So I'll give you my story.
But you still can't complain if you can't make the commitment.
I'll give you my story last night. I haven't complained at all, right? So I was going to my girlfriend's house. I left my apartment at 7:10. Right. I got into an Uber pool for
which
three.
Most nights should be all right, right?
Right.
Because 7
sure.
o'clock is usually the kickoff.
Absolutely.
And last night 7:30, which I think hurt people because I think that's what threw a couple people off.
Totally agree with you, Tony. So at 7:10, I get in an Uber to head over there, and you know I'm like, you know what? Let me just check 7:25 or so. Or something like that. Maybe I'm a little off. Maybe I got in the Uber at 7:15 and I checked. Right before I checked, nothing was wrong, right? Like I was refreshing Twitter and Roto World and line of lock was over, right? So it was like, okay, nothing's going on fine. So I get in the Uber and it's an Uber pool because, you know, I can't afford the regular Uber.
I'm just sitting there feeling Greg, you're in the Uber pool. Come on.
I was in the Uber pool for $3.49.
To save $3.49 probably. Exactly. You want to go?
I've never had the Uber pool work for me. Like,
really?
They always cancel or they've never come.
Oh, it's great.
I've never taken an Uber yet on my own.
You gotta get the Uber pool costs as much as the subway.
I'm so old school fantasy hour with cabs. It's like I just call the local cab company, get the price quoted, and they come pick me up.
You're wasting money.
So, what? You would believe the price difference.
Exactly, Tony.
You would throw up if we told you the difference.
Yeah.
Really?
You pretty much go anywhere in the city, and Corey can agree with me, for $3 and change now.
Really?
Yeah.
It cost me $10 to go to the mall if I want to take an Uber.
It's going
to
cost you, no, Uber pools is going to cost you much less. I'm telling you.
Yeah, so I don't
think my wife would be open to the pool. But
why?
I wonder if it's cheaper. She doesn't want to sit with other people she doesn't know.
Oh,
in the
but Greg's the
elitist. I'm the 1%er, huh?
Yeah, but you know what?
I didn't know.
I feel really good this morning. I know what you feel like on your walk to work when you come down the spiral staircase. You give the doorman an extra tip. You pet the neighbor's high scale poodle, you know, and stuff like that. And then you walk by and say hi to the guys at J. Crew and stuff like that. I felt good coming in this morning.
Not open yet.
I know you look in the window, but you know I feel good this morning. Real quick, I scored
I want to hear Greg's story.
He doesn't care about my story.
Real quick, I scored 321.75 points.
Nice, nice
I played in the 30K 1-1. I finished I finished 32-28 out of 35,000.
Why are you playing?
Why
in
are you playing a tournament in the 194?
You playing in the donkey?
Why would you not play just like a cash game?
Yeah, that, you shouldn't. But it's good that you cashed.
I doubled it up though.
Yeah,
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, but yeah,
oh,
yeah.
But you're giving yourself a worse.
Don't be playing in that donkey contest every night.
I had Goran Dragic, who had 42.5. DeRozan, who killed.
Can we get into my story before you get into your players?
Danilo Gallinari, 31.
You keep ignoring me. Okay.
Kenneth Faried, who was a great discount last night. Julius Randle disappointed me. Lou Williams was another good bargain. Terrence Ross. I was excited to watch the Net game last night. Terrence Ross is drilling threes.
It's tough for me to get excited about you when you just completely ignore me.
And then of course, Jimmy Butler, you know?
Oh, yeah. Butler, yeah, almost a triple double. But I can't believe that you cashed without Joseph.
Well, Lou Williams had a decent game. You know, he had 42.5 DraftKings points. He had 24 points. But, you know, overall, it was a good night. The only guy that disappointed me was Randall. And my friend Rusty Ryle, you know, who's on this network and plays a lot of daily, told me to put Julius Randle in, and I'm going to call him very upset today.
Go ahead, Greg.
Are you okay? Are you allowed to speak now? Okay.
Go ahead, Greg.
Thank you.
I'm sorry,
much.
Greg. I know your story's very important, but like right at the top, it's like I wanted to say.
Scott, you announced you wanted. We all clapped for you. Then you have to read every guy in your freaking lineup.
segments like going over you building your lineup.
Well,
so,
that's for the people. Yeah. For everyone to build their lineups.
Yeah.
Not just me.
You know, I'm reflecting on what I did here, you know?
Sure.
It's like I've been telling you guys reflection. I came in excited this morning.
We were very excited for you. And then you just didn't let me get my, you know,
I'm so excited that you know, I just steamrolled you. It's nothing personal, but I'm very excited. I've been waiting hours to get this out.
There you go.
Yeah.
You've been waiting years to get that other stuff out. You don't seem to mind that.
And of course, Corey chickened out and didn't send me an invite because he knew we would have got a stomp.
You would have beat my ass last night.
You were talking all the garbage.
He said
you
want to
get your ass beat last night. Didn't even send me an invite.
He just said you would have won.
I said you would have won last night.
I know.
Just said that. So basically, I'm going to
shut you up again.
I'm in this Uber pool here. I'm in this Uber pool, and lineups are locking. I see, and I don't, you know, I don't think I missed anything, but I'm like, I'm going through some of the other teams, like the guys that I know, Tony, right? I know personally, but like the names that you see all the times in your cash games, in your tournaments, and I'm looking, I'm like, they all got Corey Joseph in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, uh-oh. No. I'm like, oh, no.
What happened?
So he's like, Corey Joseph's now like 50% owned or so, I think, in my cash game.
Yeah.
And I have DeRozan already, right? So I had DeRozan in there. I'm like, okay, you know what? I can survive this because I didn't have Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
I have all my guys in there. But the one guy I faded last night in order to get DeRozan in there because I didn't have the cheap Kyle. I didn't have the cheap Corey Joseph. The one guy I faded was Nikola Jokic. And that didn't go great.
That was my situation. I think I had a decent lineup. I had Fareed, Kawhi Leonard. I had Jokic in there.
Damn.
You know, I had Lou Will.
How many points did you put up?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I put up 242. I had Kyle Lowry in my lineup.
You mentioned it, Scott.
And I had D'Angelo Russell.
That was where I was getting to. Yeah. I had D'Angelo Russell.
Daily Roto really liked D'Angelo Russell last night.
Of course.
I decided to go with Dragic.
Well, I
wanted
had
some exposure to that game.
I had both of them. D'Angelo Russell and
really?
Dragic. Because I didn't have Corey Joseph.
A good night.
I played Sam Decker, too, last night.
That was a mistake.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen again.
He was low on salary.
No, that wasn't a mistake.
No,
I actually used him all over the place.
It was a little bit of a gamble, but it wasn't a mistake, Corey.
Well, I think it was a mistake because you probably wouldn't you make your lineup, Corey?
I made my lineup before 6 o'clock.
Right. So you thought Sam Decker was going to start for Ryan Anderson?
Exactly.
That was where the mistake was. But Corey Brewer wasn't asked to start.
Oh, I knew he wasn't going to start.
Well, you did, Tony, but Corey didn't. Is what I'm saying. He would add Corey Brewer in there instead of Sam Decker if he knew Brewer was starting.
But he was 3,200. He's 20 fantasy
that
points.
Price, so it was worth the risk.
Six times the value.
No, he did hit value. It was D'Angelo Russell that didn't hit value.
No, and that was not.
That was a disaster for me.
And Kyle Lowry's donut. Kyle Lowry didn't hit value either.
Kyle Lowry was very, very angry.
And the other guy that
night.
Hurt fantasy point owners was Jermaine Nelson.
Oh
Nelson last night. That's absolutely right. Who hurt me? I might go through my lineup.
I had a 331 and lost $18.
Oh my god! That's crazy. I'd be pissed. I'm pissed at my 285.
Jonas Valanciunas stunk. I thought that was an amazing matchup for him.
He didn't score in the first half.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was very angry. Kenneth Faried not stink. You said him.
No. 4,400 last night.
Julius Randle's been cold. Tony talked about him yesterday. Yeah. He's been ice cold as of late. The Lakers have been ice cold as of late. Bojan was okay. Damari Carroll was on.
He started off well, but then he faded.
I think he scored. Yeah, he scored 12 points in about 3 minutes, and then he just went into hibernation.
Yeah, yeah. A bit, you know. And
Nagura hurt people last night with that injury.
That
started him on the cheap.
Yep. So there you go.
There were a couple landmines last night.
You had to avoid. And even if you avoided them, like moi, you can still lose. So there you go. Whatever. But
sounded like initially you had a solid lineup.
Those are the frustrating nights.
I liked my lineup tonight.
I would have liked your lineup too. Lowry was really pissed, but they said they were resting him because, you know, the wear and tear of the season, and a big deal for him to come home to Philadelphia tonight.
Well, let's be realistic. They're resting him because it was the first night of a back to back. One is the worst team in the NBA, right? I guess that's the reason.
Well, tonight. I wonder if DeRozan will sit tonight.
I totally think he will. I feel very confident in predicting that DeRozan will be nowhere near my lineup.
Would Joseph start again?
Sure.
Yeah. They would start those two guys.
Yep.
If McConnell's out, Rodriguez.
Sergio
Rodriguez
is the worst defender in the NBA.
Yeah. It can be a big night for Lowry's return for tonight.
Yeah. We always say when he goes to Philly, it's a good spot for him. So definitely make sure you get your lineup alerts tonight. DailyRoto.com, of course. I like you said, I had a strong lineup. I think I did. If you would have told me who my biggest question mark was Kenneth Faried, you would have told me he had 32 points last night in FanDuel, I'd be like, oh, wow, I'm definitely going to cash.
Yeah. I
did not.
I watched the Nets and the Raptors last night. Had more fun just like – this was my first time playing daily NBA in like 4 years, and I just had more fun watching the game last night. And with the Nets, it's like, you know, it's like – The Knicks are bad, but like Corey, but like the Nets are always worse. And I'm like, I'm looking at their uniforms, and it's like they look like a CYO team with like T-shirts on. It's like they don't even look like they're wearing NBA uniforms.
Yeah,
that's because that Russian guy owns them.
Oh, Mikhail Prokhorov. Tony, we can't talk bad about Russia on this network. I can't. You know, big fan of Vladdy Daddy.
Vladdy Daddy.
Vladdy Daddy.
V. Putin.
Vlad.
Yo, so
hey.
So that was it. So other than that, we got everybody's DFS basketball, you know, thing going. Are we going to talk about Carmelo Anthony and Phil Jackson?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah,
but on the other side, we're going to have a special guest join the program.
Who's that?
You'll see after this. Red Rocks vs. The Morning continues.
Yay.
We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Corey Parson, Scott Angle, Tony Sakata, myself, hanging out. And Scotty mentioned multiple reasons for his glee this morning.
Glee.
First, of course, being that he is a DFS winner on night one of his NBA season, which is pretty good. And the other reason was because he has these delicious cookies to eat. And, you know, Scotty loves his cookies.
Snacks.
So, I can only have one, though.
You can only have one.
It's like I'm diabetic and there's like 20 grams of sugar in every
You
one.
Say that you're diabetic, and I watch what you eat after the show.
Why do I eat with sugar in it?
I assume that the food has sugar, no?
No, I'm very careful with that. I just don't eat caviar like you, you know?
I've never had caviar in my life. Let the barbs be accurate.
Liar.
Never had caviar in my life. Don't come and call me a liar.
Your neighbor's butler doesn't bring over caviar.
You're calling me a liar now.
What?
Wow.
I think you might be stretching. You're calling me a liar.
I'm the one stretching the truth.
Yeah, I think you might be.
That seems unlikely. All right. Joining us now, speaking of the cookies, Kelly from Tampa. Good morning.
Kels, what's popping?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Thank you, Kelly.
Better now.
No problem. Thank you guys for all your help over, you know, the last season.
Well, thank you very much. We're doing well. How did you wind up, Kels?
I ended up fourth in my league, but, you know, with having the injury issues that I had and losing the draft picks I did early on in the season, I was pleased to even make the playoffs. And really what it came down to is if I would have switched one player that first week of the playoffs and started Blau Pau instead of somebody else, I would have gone on to the championship. So that's my bad. You know, I take full responsibility for that. If it wasn't for you guys and you know, who to pick up on waivers and who to drop and stuff like that, I wouldn't have even been in that position to begin with.
Well,
we're glad that we can be able to help.
We're glad that we can help you. We know help everybody. So that's pretty good.
Hiya, Kels. How's our friend Trucker Rob doing?
You know, I haven't talked to him for a while, but I see on Facebook that he seems to be doing well.
Good.
They just got him a brand new puppy a couple months ago, so he's all excited about that. I know that.
Very nice.
Good. Good for him.
I hope he's in better spirits. When Trucker Rob was totally healthy, I wouldn't trust him with a dog. But.
Well, you know, Tony, if Tony would have been in studio, I would have sent muffins instead of cookies.
Oh, that's all right. We got to have a little cookies there. Now, Kelly, are you just a one sport woman, or are you into multiple sports? Do you go a little baseball?
I've played a half a season of fantasy baseball. I took over for a team that he didn't think was going to make the playoffs, and I almost made the playoffs. Another week, maybe 2 weeks, and I would have made the playoffs because I listened to you guys. But I don't really have a league to join for baseball, so I haven't done baseball for an entire season on my own. But I play in Scott's Fantasy NASCAR League.
Oh, how about that?
Oh,
are you beating Scott?
He's always one of the top contenders.
Well, this season doesn't start till February. So
that's right.
One and done.
That's right. I win the Daytona 500, then I go about my business.
Yeah, he won it once on a fluke.
Yeah, in 1999.
Then he finished last the next year.
Now, everybody hating, but I got a Daytona championship, and nobody else does. but they hating. You know, that's how it goes.
It's the easiest race to win in fantasy NASCAR.
Win it, Dan Scott.
I won the entire league.
Win it.
I won the entire league.
Nobody cares about who wins the league.
Nobody cares about who wins Daytona in fantasy NASCAR.
Who wins Daytona.
It was a fluke. You finished last the next year.
The Mets are a fluke. How about that?
So is you being a Warriors fan. Right. Yeah.
Greg, get in control of this, please.
Kelly, congratulations.
Tony?
Or I destroy him.
No problem. See, Greg, you always have my back because you always bring it back in. When someone there, Mr. Muffin Man, asks me off-the-wall questions.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's what I'm here for. That's literally, I think that's literally the only reason I'm here, to be honest with you.
Kelly, I'm consistent about anything, right?
You should play in the league this year, Tony. If
NASCAR?
Scott invites you.
Oh, Scott ain't going to invite me, because if I ever was winning, I would spend 3 hours talking about it.
I'll definitely invite you, Tony.
Sign me up.
I'm
in.
You're not
Tony
win.
Will do the homework. If he won, it wouldn't be a fluke.
I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in, actually. Kyle Edwards was one of my favorite players, though.
Why are you sacking Tony this morning, Scott?
That's not nice.
Why are you sacking Tony this morning, Scott?
See, Tony, he's starting, see? I can't even compliment another host on this friggin' show. I was complimenting you, Corey, yesterday.
Thank you,
I was
Scott.
On your small sack.
All right,
this sounds like a Republican debate right now.
Yeah. Well, it is the Republican that won. All right, so there you go, our special guest Corey.
All right, thanks a lot, Kels.
Thank you, Kelly.
Love
you, Kels.
You the best. You the best.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Scott, did you let Corey eat the first one? Like, you never know when someone's mad at you, like, for craziest reasons. Like, who ate the first cookie?
I did. Scott ate him before he walked in.
He had his one already.
I just had to have one.
I'm going to have one, and then you're right.
Corey's going to have one canister.
I eat no sugar-added cookies at all.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good.
Very good, Scott.
It's a good thing.
I'm here for that.
What?
Everybody's up to. I said I'm here for that.
Oh, okay.
He supports it.
I'm here for that. You know, I want Scott to be healthy.
Yeah, of course.
Scott, they got memes of you looking like George the Animal Steel on the internet.
I love that. I love that. I thought George the Animal Steel was a terrific legend.
Still alive.
Yeah, great, great compliment.
Still is a legend.
Thank you.
In fact.
That's a compliment.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
This body here is not complimentary.
I have no problem with my body hair.
No, I'm not saying.
No
you
woman
do.
I ever dated had a problem with my body hair.
You only had one.
What?
You only had one, Scott. In the last 25 years, you only had one. So,
well, a real man will have one woman for 25
boy.
Years.
Yeah, real now. You
instead
real
of five
man.
For 25 minutes like
now
you.
You a
wow.
real
yeah.
man.
Oh, my yeah. goodness.
Make good use of 25 yeah. minutes, brother. That's
true. More like seconds with you.
Scott's on fire this morning.
You know what? He's a winner. It feels like he's there.
Yeah, he's yeah, on fire.
Like he's called, yeah, he's all fired up. Like,
yeah, he had his cookie. Like,
yeah, Scott.
Good enough for me. Scott doesn't need smelling salts. He literally just needs cookies.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask y'all a question. Y'all might know this. I have no clue. This meme right here that I've been seeing all over the internet with the dude like sprinkling something. What the hell is that?
That's funny. He put it up.
Cause I've seen this all over the place the past couple 6 or 7 days or so. I don't know what this is though. I'm not hip to this.
Michael, this is your cue.
To be honest, I'm not sure exactly where it's from, but I've been seeing it all over the place, so
yeah,
I thought, why not use it?
Well, I need to figure out what this is.
Yeah, I've been seeing it all over as well, so that's why I decided to use it.
Do you know who this man is, Greg?
No, I don't know. Oh. I don't know who it is. Sorry.
I don't know. It's like he's sprinkling something with his fingers. I've been seeing this like all week the past couple of weeks. Well, like the only thing that's popping right now is this. I don't know what it is. Like this is taking over for Crying Jordan.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. Corey, you want to talk about Carmella?
Yeah. We have to do it now. Whenever you're on the floor of the show.
I know
Greg.
You felt very strongly about this.
No, because I can't. Because I'm almost cussed just now. What's up with Phil Jackson, man?
Well, I mean, he's
you know,
worse.
If I'm Carmella, I'm coming in. No, I'm not going nowhere. Deal with it.
Okay.
Deal with it. Stand up to that chump, Phil Jackson.
Well, they said he confirmed that he wanted to stay in New York.
No, but Phil wants to move him. You know what I'm saying? Phil want to get rid of him.
Correct.
Yeah. Phil want to get rid of
Phil
him.
Phil wants the team to get worse.
Yeah, exactly. Phil
I was talking with Florio and Stamfill about this yesterday. Like Stamfill also wants to run Carmelo out of town, too. But, like, I'm like, you know, I don't think it's Carmelo's fault that the
no,
team
it's
is
not
bad,
Carmelo
you know?
Anthony's fault.
Of course it's not Melo's
fault.
This reminds me of, like,
especially
when
you,
I,
Phil Jackson.
Reminds me of the 80s Knicks when, like, it was Bernard King and like everything else about around him was shaky.
Well, the Knicks got Porzingis.
They
so.
Do have Porzingis, but he's been hurt. He's young, you know.
Oh, he's going to be a player though. So.
He is, no question.
But still, I just don't like the way. Like, why Phil Jackson always carrying it like this? You feel what I'm saying?
Phil Jackson, as you say, Phil Jackson's an asshole.
Yeah,
it's Corey impression.
Thank you.
I ain't in. It's a good one too.
Thank you.
I just don't like Phil Jackson, and I'm glad Carmelo Anthony stood up to him. Like, no, don't trade me. Fix the damn team, Phil.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be so damn smart, Zen master.
Mm-hmm.
Meditate on that.
Meditate on that, brother.
Yeah.
That would be a great ending to your meeting. Meditate on that.
That would be nice end to the meeting.
I know you're upset about Mella, right? You're frustrated.
All
right,
I'm frustrated.
How are you now? How do you feel about you know? Let me just think of a random topic I was going to ask you about. Perhaps the potential Secretary of Education. And her possibility of teaching your children.
I was looking at and then some of that yesterday. It looked like they don't know what's going on.
No.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't.
Why he bring her in there? But
that's a funny question. What do you want to know why?
Why is that?
Because he's Donald J. Trump.
Yep, that's exactly why. So that's who's going to be in charge of the Department of Education. I know where the building's at, so I know where her office is.
Okay, you make sure you go talk to her after.
She's probably not.
You watch some of the videos? You watch some of the videos of her?
I did not. I've seen them, but I did not. I've seen the videos. Like, I've seen them posted, but I haven't gotten a chance to sit down and look at it. I was on a couple of telephone calls last night.
What? Really?
I'm hearing that it's true.
What?
No, I think I just saw breaking news.
You guys see breaking news?
No.
What do you
no.
got?
Oh, this just must be a rumor that the Steelers are going to bench Antonio Brown.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
Yeah,
no, that's not true.
Get the hell out of here.
Okay. I know Tomlin was ticked off and he apologized, but that would be ridiculous.
Good apology by Antonio Brown.
Well, you know what the benching
what
would
he
be?
Do? What did he
you know what the benching would be, Corey? They put him out, like bench him for the first play in a game, and then he get him in on the second.
It was a good apology.
What did he say?
Look what happened when Derek Anderson did that, though. It changed the whole game.
It's true, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's a good point. Yeah. Let's see if I can find it again. Antonio Brown basically said, you know, I was caught up in my emotions. I shouldn't have videoed that. Here we go. It is, first, I'd like to take this opportunity to say that I'm sorry for my actions and behavior after Sunday's game. I let my emotions and genuine excitement get the best of me, and I wanted to share that moment with our fans. It was wrong of me to do, against team and NFL policy, and I have apologized to Coach Tomlin and my teammates for my actions. I'm sorry to them for letting it become a distraction and something that they've had to answer questions about while we're preparing for a big game on Sunday.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's not... caught up. And I love Antonio Brown just about as much as anybody in the world. It's not so much I was caught up in my emotions. It was, I'm building my brand. AB84, business is booming. And I didn't think about my teammates. I put my brand before the team.
You think this is a story? You think this is a story?
Yeah, because...
Really?
Yeah, because this is not a good look for AB. Because he really put himself over the team. And that team just happens to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They will replace you. Todd Haley runs a wide receiver factory. You know what I'm saying? Not to say that they all can be that. Somebody can step in there and be as good as AB. But they're not going to miss a beat. You know what I mean? He can be replaced with Todd Haley and that offense and stuff like that. He has put the brand of Antonio Brown over the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Mike Tomlin has a right to get on him about it. Now, he need to also focus on keeping them dudes sober out there. I think keeping them dudes sober is a bigger issue than Antonio Brown going live on Facebook. But that's another time in the NFL playoffs we see a star player make a tremendous mistake.
That's one of the dumbest things that I've ever seen done, though. Because if you're an NFL player, the last thing you ever want around you is people with phones and cameras. And to bring that in the locker room, to me, is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I follow AB. And so, like, when I got the alert, Antonio Brown is live. I'm like, what did he keep? The game just ended.
Yeah.
Right. Ran to the locker room to get his phone. You know what I'm saying?
That's against the NFL rules because the reporters have to get their information, their video, and their sound first.
So, he's not thinking about that. He don't care about that. He's trying to get another, 2 million views. You know what I'm saying?
It sounds like people are just upset because, like, it's just locker room talk. What happens in the locker room, stay in the locker room. And I'm just like, yeah. I don't know. Like, why? This isn't a big deal to me. Like, I understand, Mike Tomlin, whatever you're saying about the Patriots, who cares? Right? You're just pumping up your team.
Yeah. No, I'm not tripping off.
That's not the issue.
Okay.
Like, the whole thing is there are stuff that is said.
Sure.
In a locker room, like you could be talking about, like a guy could have been talking about some girl that he was with,
exactly,
or like that. Yeah.
Sure.
Those cameras do not belong in that locker
right.
room at all. And
right.
if I was a teammate, I would make sure that we had a little meeting as a team after that.
You got to assume they're talking when they're in the locker rooms. I'm sure they're talking about grabbing women by the pussy.
Locker room talk.
Locker room talk.
So I grabbed the. Yeah.
It's just locker room talk.
Oh boy, let me not.
Scott, is this story big deal to you?
I just think it's a lot of smoke, just surrounding the championship game. It's eventually stuff like this was going to happen in the locker room. I think once the game starts, it's a lot of hypes leading up to the championship game. I think once the game starts, it'll just be about what's between the lines.
All right,
between the lines. Yeah.
Bill Belichick will comment on his whole extra day and a half that he needed to prepare against Mike Tomlin.
I want to know if he's on Snap Face.
You love that line.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, you're all about that.
You know,
Belichick, I think somehow slyly will fit it in sometime.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? He's in there talking to his team, and they're already complaining. I think
maybe if they win after the game, he'll say that it's a shame the Packers have an extra hour and a half to prepare for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that, a little sly Belichickian move.
But the thing, Pittsburgh doesn't play them well. So
no.
they're going to beat up on.
I still find that stat crazy, right? Ben Roethlisberger and Brady haven't faced each other in the playoffs in 12 years. Like, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Two teams
the AFC don't send nobody to the Super Bowl except for the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Broncos.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's four teams, right?
And whoever wins this game will have the most Super Bowl appearances of any franchise.
Oh, this would be Steelers? Does it put somebody at 9?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Wow. I never really consider. You know what? It's crazy. Like, and I get it. Anyone popular, we always try to tear down. But it's amazing to me, like, the hate that people get for Tom Brady and talk about, like, the losses in the Super Bowl, like, when they compare him to Joe Montana. Like, it's kind of like just shitting all over the Buffalo Bills for the four times they lost, right? You don't give Jim Kelly – you got to give Jim Kelly the credit for making it four consecutive years. Yeah. It's an amazing feat.
Unbelievable. It's so hard just to reach the Super Bowl, especially in football, where you have to have, like, you know, certain turns of luck and keeping everybody healthy. To do that 4 years in a row is incredible. And, you know, if not for Scott Norwood, they would have at least won had one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't, so there you go.
I know. There you go, right? Giants fan.
We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk more. Ray Summerlin, hopefully, will join the program today, 9:30 a.m. We got a lot of baseball stuff to go over. Tony's poll questions. We'll continue that today. Also on the show, Hall of Fame should be announced in about 20 minutes or so, right?
I thought it was 6 p.m. tonight.
Why did I think it was 8 a.m.? They make that up.
Maybe 6 p.m. tonight on MLB Network.
Oh, maybe the ballots had to be in by 8 a.m. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they caught him pretty quick then.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I think they have it. I don't know. I'm not sure
what
the
digital age.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this. We're back here on the Roto Experts. Hanging out. Scott, you felt you really want to talk about the NBA, so we can talk about the NBA if you'd like.
Yeah.
So what did you want to talk about?
Well, why don't you run it down like you usually do? But, you know, I do have some interesting tidbits, though, if you want me to lead with this.
Well, I was going to run
just some interesting...
It's hard for me to run it down when you skip through every game. Ah, this guy did great. This guy, I don't know. It makes it harder for me. But, you know, I'll run it down. We'll run it down.
I'm ready by game.
All right, here we go. The Miami Heat upset Houston last night, 109-103, despite another triple-double from Jimmy Harden. 40 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. 12-7 for Patrick Beverly, 11-8 for Trevor Ariza. It was Clint Capella's return, only 9 minutes of action in the return. Montrezl Harrell played 16 minutes. He had 13 points. Nene saw 24. All three centers got involved. Eric Gordon, a really disappointing 3 of 17 from the field, 1 of 10 from behind the arc. What a brutal game for Eric Gordon.
Yeah, and the Rockets just like, They went totally cold in the fourth quarter. They actually shot 1 of 12 from three-point range in the fourth quarter. It's like Harden really brought his game last night when, you know, we were questioning whether he was a good daily player or not. It was really hard to fit him in last night at 12,200 on DraftKings. But, you know, I looked at the people that won my tournaments. You know, they found ways to get Harden in there. And but the Heat, you know, totally killed them inside. The Heat had 61 points in the paint last night.
61 points, and that's despite only 14 points total from Hassan Whiteside. 14 points, 15 rebounds for Whiteside. 21-8-8 for Gordon Dragic.
Like 15 assists or something like that.
Who had 15
assists?
I'm sorry.
He had 15 boards. Not a point guard.
I know that, Corey. Can I make a mistake? I'm human.
17.
Now woe is me. Can I make a mistake? I'm human.
That's your line.
Let the bulbs be accurate.
That's your line, Corey.
Here we go.
When Ronis used to fry you, that was your line.
All right, Scotty. Yeah. Sit on it.
Yeah. 17 points, 5 rebounds, Fonzie. 3 assists for Deion Waiters. And off the bench, James Johnson at 15, 8-6. Really good game for him. Tyler Johnson at 16-3-3. And Wayne Ellington at 18.
I played Trevor Ariza from this competition right here, right?
Mm-hmm. That was a good play.
But I thought it was a good play, too.
But did it work out, though? Did it really work out?
No.
Yeah.
No. Sometimes life don't work out. You know what I mean? You can be put in the best situation.
Waiters was a good play in this game, too. It's like I wanted to get some exposure to this game. I was heavy on Denver and the Lakers and Toronto and Brooklyn, but you know, Waiters was somebody I considered, too.
Yeah, Waiters was good. He was cheap, and the minutes are always there right now for Deion Waiters. Although last night he only saw 28, which isn't terrible. I mean, you'd like him to get over that 30-minute
The bench
mark.
Played really good for Miami last night.
That's right.
Waiters, the problem with Waiters is that he's so much better in daily than he is. If you guys play
season-long
basketball.
So true.
He his field goal percentage stinks. He just he's never seen a bad shot in his life. Like
no, he hasn't.
You look at Stephen Curry. He doesn't have the talent of Curry, but he'll come over half court and he'll throw it up. It doesn't matter.
He's like he's doing shit, I'll do it too. Dion Waiters though is different. Don't go in when you do it.
Toronto defeated Brooklyn last night, 119-109. The key to this game, the reason why Corey Joseph and DeMar DeRozan both had really good games, is because the Nets stayed in it. Right, like the Nets only lost this game by 10 points. It was a 7-point game going into the fourth quarter, so they were in it, which meant Corey Joseph and DeMar DeRozan needed to play the whole way, and they did. 37 minutes for each of them. 15-22 was Corey Joseph from the field, 33-4-4. DeRozan, 36-11-6 for him. Off the bench, I know some people played Terrence Ross last night. Mm-hmm. He had 15 points. The big disappointment for me was Jonas Valanciunas. Only had 7 points, 10 rebounds. DeMarre Carroll with 9-3.
Yeah, DeRozan actually started really cold. He missed 13 of his first 21 shots, but then he really picked it up in the final quarter. You know, Valanciunas was like cold, as you mentioned. He did not score in the first half. The Raptors got 69 points from their guards last night.
Yeah, it's DeMar DeRozan to Corey Joseph.
And yep. I think at one point, the Raptors guards, I was watching this game, had outscored the Nets guards 63-2.
So I looked at this game and I felt more confident with going to Raptors once Lowry was out of the game, right? So they're 11.5-point favorite on the road. Then you take out arguably their top player. So you feel like there's an opportunity, even though Joseph played really well. I actually went with the other center in the game. I went with Brook Lopez in this one.
Lopez.
I looked at Valanciunas, and the change of point guard was going to affect Valanciunas because, of course, Kyle Lowry is the guy that distributes the ball, gets the ball down there. Corey Joseph more of a scorer than he is a point guard.
Yeah, I was considering Valanciunas last night too, but then I just pulled him out. Even though 6,200 on DraftKings, Lopez was a really nice play.
Well, Lopez was 6,200 too, or 6,500.
Yeah, he was the better play. He was pulling some nice spin moves in the paint last night, and there was a scary moment, like with 8 minutes left in the third quarter, he landed awkwardly on his ankle, and everybody in the arena went, uh-oh.
He's 7 foot tall, and everything he does is awkward.
Yeah, he finally got some rebounds. Yeah.
8 rebounds from a 7-footer. Yeah. I mean, he is the worst rebounder in the league.
Soft, that's why.
Probably in league history, honestly.
Hey, here's the thing. I kind of feel as if when the Nets are home, And Lopez is active, he probably is the best bang for your buck at center because of his usage.
He doesn't rebound the ball.
But he scores it enough.
It depends
enough,
on the price. Like, the price last night was so low at
63. He was 6,300 last night.
Yeah, but when he gets a couple good games in a row, he gets up there in price. So you got to play him while the price is down because of the whole rebounding situation. You looked at Toronto. Valanciunas is a guy that can eat up the boards, and it went well. I mean, he took 23 shots last night, Lopez. He was shot less than 50%, and that's because he's a jump shooter from the center position.
Yeah, Ross was a great play. He was very low owned on DraftKings last night, like well under 10%. And, you know, first two shots, he popped threes from the outside, and then he had like a totally uncontested dunk to like punctuate the night.
It's like Terrence Ross now, is it where to? You know Terrence Ross?
Yeah.
Okay. Lucas Nogueira, as Tony said, he left this game after 7 minutes. He started at the power forward position for Patrick Patterson last night. So Nogueira, I know a lot of people had him at center because of how cheap he was on both sites. So that was a major loss for you. And in fact, the funny thing is, in my cash game, the person that finished in first had Lucas Nogueira, and it didn't matter.
Wow.
He hit a three.
He hit a three
to open the game. I thought this was going to be a good pick, and then the Raptors rang out the first 11 points. I said, this game is over, and then the Nets came back.
Hey, let me ask you, Greg. Yeah. Who did he have in his lineup that he was able to finish in first place with a zero?
Point guards were Emmanuel Mudiay and Corey Joseph.
Okay.
Shooting guards, DeMar DeRozan, James Harden. Those are my shooting guards, too, by the way.
Oh, jeez.
Those are my shooting guards as well.
Wow.
Yeah. What's that, 160 points?
Right there.
That was 115. Whoa. No, 160. No, 100. Yeah, 120. Yeah. Wow. Jimmy Butler, Terrence Ross, Nikola Jokic, Kenneth Fareed.
Oh, he had it. How did he fit all those people in there?
I don't know.
Joseph obviously was minimum salary.
So I really wanted to get Harden, DeRozan, and Jokic, and I.
He couldn't. But this guy figured it out.
Corey Joseph. He had Manimal and Joseph in there to start.
Corey Joseph.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I had one a lot of two with those three.
Those three guys. That was literally my goal of the night, Tone, which is get those three in. And I couldn't do it until Corey Joseph. And I didn't get Corey Joseph in. So.
I have Harden, Jokic, and
DeRozan.
No, not in that one. Yeah, DeRozan. I'm looking for a lineup there. I don't. A lot of time when Lowry went out, I basically hammered DeRozan in a spot. I had to change a couple things around and get Joseph in there. I thought it was so important to get that Joseph in there. Oh, here it is. I had Joseph, Harden, Decker, Chandler, oh. Jokic, DeRozan, Fareed, and then Jermaine Nelson hurt me. I put a 331.
Yeah. Jeez.
With that lineup.
With Nelson. Yeah,
that's great lineup. Mm-hmm. So basically, for the Raptors needed to go to their bench pretty early in this one. That's why Terrence Ross saw even those 30 minutes with Damari Carroll saying 26. Back the Nets, Bojan Bogdanovic, who I had, he had 11 points. Trevor Booker, who I really liked last night, he had 8 and 8, just 22 minutes for him. Yeah, that's kind of it for the Brooklyn Nets. Take a break. We'll around the rest of the NBA right after this here on the Roto Experts. Mavericks and the Bulls last night. Mavericks defeat Chicago 99-98. Happy birthday, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
17 points, 5 rebounds for D. Wade. 24, 12, and 9, almost a triple-double for Jimmy Butler in 40 minutes of action. 21 and 5 for Robin Lopez, 10 and 5 for MC Dubs. Ricky Rubio in that six-man role does not score. 5 assists, 3 rebounds. Dougie McBuckets comes back to earth. He had 7 points.
Yeah, Lopez was like his best game of the season.
No Taj Gibson last night, so Paul Zipser got the start again.
Zipsy.
He had 5 points, 3 rebounds.
He was horrific.
I like Nikola Mirotic with Gibson out. Mirotic had 6 points and 5 rebounds.
Yeah, on the other side, like I know Dirk Nowitzki is like the signature player for the Mavericks, but he wasn't worth the $6,200 on DraftKings last night. With just 10 points, although he did have 10 rebounds. But you know, Harrison Barnes has like really stepped up and become the guy on this team.
Yeah, Dirk
Mirotic. Yep. You got to be careful on that. And we talked about this on the Lineup Block show.
Yep.
Even when people are out, he's not getting enough playing time to put in your lineups. If you look at it, with Zipser playing and they get a Bobby Portis 15 minutes, there's only like 20-something minutes left for Nikolai Mirotic. And being the first game back, I kind of told people that I wouldn't play him last night. Well, I was concerned about the playing time.
So, Tony, I was listening to you, and that's why I didn't play him. Because I was liking him, and I had you guys all in my ears. And so that's why I wound up not putting him in there.
Yeah, McDermott had that big game the other night and then shot 3-for-10 last night.
What do you think about this game from
no momentum there.
Seth last night.
Seth Curry, 18 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. We talked about him earlier this week. I picked him up in season-long leagues with Andrew Bogut's injury because I thought Seth Curry was going to continue to start, and he has, alongside Darren Williams in that backcourt. Darren Williams saw 30 minutes, put up 11, 9, and 6. Wes Matthews, 11, and 4. Dirk Nowitzki, who Scotty says not worth the money, he puts up 10 and 10, while Harry Barnes puts up 20 and 4.
Not a big game fantasy-wise for Wes Matthews, but he hit the clutch shot. And also played clutch defense on Butler last night to seal the game.
Played 40 minutes.
Curry,
last night.
Curry's good for me in season long compared to daily fantasy because you just don't know night to night. Like they have so many backcourt guys, like JJ Barrett and Devin Harris only played 18 minutes last night. This game's where they play 25 minutes. Deron Williams is playing very well as of late, so I like Curry in a season long. I think he's probably the most talented player out of that whole group, to be honest with you, but just from one night to the next, the minutes could vary.
Yeah, you never know. You might get yourself in a situation. The price was $3,900 on DraftKings last night. So he was able
to hit. That's well worth the risk in a good offensive environment. But the problem in this game last night was
this a good offensive environment last night, though?
No, not at all. It was 195 total. It was 20 points less than most of the games on the point.
I didn't play nobody from this game last night.
Low-scoring one.
I didn't play a soul from this game last night. Didn't make my lineup.
Neither did I.
Me neither.
Neither did I. Stayed away from it. I also did not play a soul from this game either. The San Antonio Spurs defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves. Higher scoring than we thought, Zone, 122 to 114. All 5 T-Wolves starters, despite the loss, were in double digits, including 27-16 for Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns, 21-14 for Ricky Rubio last night, 13-14 from the line. This all, of course, is despite the return of Zach LaVine over the last couple games, 18 15 points for Levine.
Yeah, and Karl-Anthony Towns had his fourth game this year with 25 points and 15 rebounds. Only Anthony Davis, who has eight, has more.
27
one
to
number
16.
That sticks out, though. He did that in 43 minutes.
Yep.
And that is a lot of time on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you got to watch that. So those numbers there. I wouldn't have – last night I didn't pay for him. I thought that Hassan Whiteside was $1,000 cheaper. He could be a play. Nikola Jokic was $1,400 cheaper. And I thought they were equally good plays. So I just thought he was not worth the price, and he delivered for fantasy owners last night.
He's got double-doubles in his 11 of his last 12 years.
Look at these numbers.
10 straight at one
from
point.
From Kat and Rubio and Dang and Levine. San Antonio is not the dominant defensive team.
No, yeah. They're not. Absolutely not. Dang at 17 and 6. Andrew Wiggins, at 10. And a buddy last night, Tony, basically he's like, I like Ricky Rubio tonight. I'm not scared of this first defense anymore.
Yeah.
And Tony Parker's just too old to handle these point guards.
That was a good call by your friend. That was a good call.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Ricky,
yes.
His play is so much better when Levine's not playing.
I know.
That when he came back, it didn't even come into consideration for me to play him.
Me either. And I was like, how could you do this? And he's like, listen, I'm not scared of Tony Parker. I'm confident with Rubio. I'm going. All right. LaMarcus Aldridge put up 29 points. Kawhi Leonard, 34-7-5. While Tony Parker had 14-5, Tony.
And Kawhi Leonard now has four straight 30-point games.
Right, Kawhi Leonard's been hot.
Yeah, the one thing with Kawhi Leonard, when you look at it, him, he just does it all, right? So you usually get a couple steals from a couple blocks. Last night he only had one. He didn't have any blocks. But you usually get some of those numbers outside of the points there. And when he was putting up 30 points a game, this is it. We went over the numbers last night, though. Out of his last 10 games, he's had three 50-point games. So three fantasy 50-point games. So when you look at it, you look at him as a solid guy. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get about 45 points each and every night. But you got to consider, is he a tournament option? Because only three times in those 10 games he had the 50-plus fantasy points.
Which is the issue. All right. We take a break. The top of the hour, we talk about the highest scoring game of the night. Denver and L.A. will do a little baseball as well. Hour number two comes your way next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Back here, total NBA with the winning king, Tony Sicana, Corey Parsons. Well, and the game that you definitely stacked last night, obviously, was the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers in L.A. The Nuggets go in and win 127-121. Every starter for Denver was in the double figures, including 34 minutes of action on the back-to-back. Nikola Jokic, 29 points, 15 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Without Darrell Arthur, 30 minutes for Kenneth Faried, 9 of 10 from the field, 20 and 7 for him. Will Barton, without Gary Harris, had 26, 8 and 4. A good night for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about the Kyle Lowry thing, though, but I saw tweets floating out there about, you know, Lil Dang's now indefinitely, and some people had him in the lineup, and they got screwed by that, too.
I know Benny Ricciardi had Lil Dang in the lineup last night.
Yeah.
He's out indefinitely with that wrist injury, I expect.
Brandon Ingram.
How do I know that?
You talked to me this morning?
Benny was speaking about it last night.
Oh, okay.
Well, we've been saying, we'll get the Lakers in a second. Emmanuel Mudiay put up 14 and 6. Gallo had 14 points. Wilson Chandler off the bench also had 14 points. So, anybody on Denver you had outside of Jameer Nelson, Tony, did not kill you.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. And Emmanuel Mudiay, you know, we talked about on FanDuel, they were close in price. And Mudiay was the better play out of the two. You had an $1,800 savings on DraftKings, which led you to Jameer Nelson.
I'm just
That was the difference there. On FanDuel, I think you had a better chance of getting out of it. You should have went with Mudiay.
I'm just hopping back into the pool, you know what I mean, getting my feet wet. Why I miss Will Barton. What happened here? What did I miss? Why did it? Why? Because I played like four players in this game. Will Barton wasn't one of them.
So Gary Harris is out.
Yeah.
When Gary Harris is out, Barton usually goes to the starting lineup and play the Lakers.
You see,
he was a good bargain last night.
Did you play him, Scotty?
No.
5,600. He put up nice numbers. He definitely hit his value.
I used Gallinari and Lou Williams in this game. And Randall.
On the other side...
I used that stiff D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, I used that stiff D'Angelo Russell, too. So I had 17 minutes here, 5 points.
7,000 on DraftKings wasn't worth it.
No, not by a long shot. He owed me money this morning.
He owes me a lot of money. It was a bench Randall that went off. Sweet Lou, 24-7-4. Jordan Clarkson, 19. And then off the bench, Tariq Black at 14. And they've been trying to get more minutes for Ivan Zubac. And they did here... Or Ivica Zubac.
Ivica Zubac.
That was Ivan. But
11 points, 13 boards.
Yeah. Here's for me, 26 minutes. Timothy Mozgov only saw 10. Tony, is this a changing the guard in L.A.?
I think that, no. I don't think it is. I think he's going to get more and more time, but I don't think he's ready yet. I did pick him up in a season-long
game. That was my question.
Because the ability's there, so I have him on my bench. They only play two games next week, so you got to have a deep bench to be able to do this. But, yeah, he's worth a pickup because if he plays, he's a double-double guy.
But one of the guys you absolutely have to pick up from this game, Scott just mentioned it, Luol Deng's out indefinitely without wrist injury, which means Brandon Ingram, we've talked about finding a position and getting this guy minutes. 37 minutes last night at the small forward position mostly with Deng out. 37 minutes, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. That's a full line. Brandon Ingram's going to be a popular play going forward and is a must-pickup in season league.
Yeah, you also can, larger leagues, can keep your eye on Thomas Robinson, too.
$3,600 is the price on DraftKings last night, so that was a nice boost to you.
There was some good values.
Thomas Robinson didn't even play last night.
What's that?
Thomas Robinson didn't play last night.
Thomas Robinson
might get more minutes
night.
Now, though.
But he got 0 minutes last night.
Yeah, I'm saying going forward, though, I've read in some of the L.A. papers, it might get more minutes now, though.
It doesn't make so... I read the same thing, and it doesn't make sense, right? Like, why are you going to play Thomas Robinson for when you have Brandon Ingram, who is your second overall pick, and you want to get him the minutes, he's going to be the guy that you have to
run. Yeah, you're right. We've been talking forever about it.
Tony's been saying you got to find him a position. Yeah. Now they have one.
Yeah. Thomas Robinson, too, is more of the power forward type.
Right.
In the center, like, I don't see him playing the three, and that's where Deng was playing. So I don't know. I have a hard time. I like Thomas Robinson as a player, and I think he should play more. I just don't know where they would get those minutes from.
Yeah, and with Julius Randle last night, it's like I spent $7,200 on him. He shot 2 for 8 from the field, 7 points. This guy had an 8-game run of scoring in double figures, and now he scored in double figures once in his last 5. He salvages a little with 7 rebounds and 7 assists, but it's like I regretted spending $7,200 on him in DraftKings last night.
Don't regret it, Scotty.
Yeah,
you won. There's no reason to regret it. You won.
You haven't buyer's remorse.
You're a winner. Nick Young at 22 points. Nick Young at 22 points in this one. And Luke Walton trying to figure out what the hell to do because everything he did early in the season totally falling apart right now. Jordan Clarkson, 36 minutes here. And Tony's right. He should be starting next to D'Angelo Russell. I mean, that should be your backcourt of the future, those two, with Brandon Ingram at small forward, Julius Randle at power forward, and perhaps Zubac at center. And that should be it. So definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, this team is... crazily run, and that's no new story there. Unless they're trying to build up Lou Williams and Nick Young's value so they can go ahead and trade them, it makes no sense playing them all this time and keeping a young kid like Clarkson on the bench and getting these two guys together, unless you're going to make a big move at draft day, and you should be playing Jordan Clarkson. And if you can't, these two guys can't coexist. You got to trade Williams or Clarkson because they both play the same position and bring a big man. And they need to do something. They're doing nothing.
And Lou Williams is the guy to trade, right? He's the older guy. You don't want to trade away Jordan Clarkson. So.
Oh, and I think plenty of teams would love to bring him off the bench, like plenty of playoff teams.
Absolutely.
That would be a great, great guy. I mean, the Boston Celtics last year, Evan Turner, he would fit right into that role.
Yeah, 100%. He's the perfect one. And a lot of teams can use a guy like Lou Williams with the instant scoring off the bench. Mm-hmm. And the ability to get hot, certainly, in a playoff game. Speaking of L.A., speaking of injuries, you heard of, in Scott's news update that it's out. Chris Paul has an x-ray on the thumb, and he was fine. Has an MRI yesterday, and realized he has a torn ligament in his thumb. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So in all my season-long leagues, I ran to the waiver wire in leagues I didn't have Austin Rivers, and I picked him up. Ray Felton's going to start at the point guard position for now, but we know that Austin Rivers is the biggest benefactor here because, number one, Doc Rivers plays his kid. Number two, Austin Rivers is pretty talented, and he's been getting the minutes and scoring with CP3 in there. So Austin Rivers, to me, the biggest benefactor.
He is, but if you need assists, go and get Felton in your season-long leagues. I think he's going to get enough opportunity there that he can really help your assists. And assist it down in the NBA, where I think that Felton could be a guy there. In the leagues I played, Austin Rivers wasn't on any waiver wires.
Yeah, he was on one of the three that I was in, and I was able to grab him.
That's what's
good,
up.
Good fortune right there. But yeah, I agree with Tony. You know, I've watched Felton play. You know, he's a heady veteran, and you know, he's certainly not going to hurt your seasonal fantasy team.
No, I think they're both good pickups.
And the
Clippers, he's always overweight.
It's why so he passes funny the when ball. You take it to the hoop.
Yeah, there's a couple guys like the NBA. Like, man, he is one of them. Like, he's been like that way like for 5-6 years.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But Deron Williams too could lose a few pounds.
Oh, really? I haven't seen D. Will.
Oh yeah, he's playing well though.
He's portly now.
Yeah. Well, if they weren't NBA players, they would just look like regular dudes.
Yeah,
but because they're point guards in the NBA, you go, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, I'm not judging. You know what I'm saying? I can stay at the top of the uniform on. They'd be like, what the hell is going on?
See, I can stay at the top of the key and pass to you.
Yeah, there you go,
I don't
Scott.
Have to go all the way to the hoop, you know.
Well, you'd also look like Raymond Felton, though. Just like I would, right? Stay over here.
Yeah.
The Clippers, Corey, Clippers are like...
Clip joint.
They can't do it, man.
Nah.
Blake Griffin goes down, CP3 goes down, DeAndre Jordan goes down next.
They start off the season looking like it could be a thing, but they seem to be a little bit fugazi to me. And then I don't like...
Fugazi.
And I don't like DeAndre Jordan like that either.
Why?
I don't know, he just kind of... I don't know.
I like him in fantasy.
He's decent.
I only like him though. Games already. It's like guy's a monster on the boards.
He's a monster, but he's once Blake Griffin comes back, he goes back to under 10 rebounds a game.
Yeah,
well, right now, fantasy wise, I love the guy.
Blake should be back soon, right, Tony?
Yeah, I haven't seen an update as far as when he'll be back, but yeah, he should be back in a couple of weeks.
Tonight's the goodie, right? It's tonight in Golden State or tonight in Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I think it's in Golden State.
It's in Golden State.
Yeah, yeah, there's another good game early too, right? With the Rockets.
Milwaukee Harden versus Antetokounmpo.
Oh, that should be a good one. Yeah,
second out of back to back for Houston. Don't love to see that.
I'm gonna miss the Golden State.
Actually, we went back. We did a little research on James Harden because I listened to some incompetent host on one of the other channels.
Okay.
Basically, say Harden's a jump shooter. You got to be worried on back to back games. So we went back.
That's false.
Jump shooter.
Just watch James Harden.
The guy's got incredible footwork when he drives to the basket.
We went back 3 months and went back to the back-to-back games where he actually played better on the second night, and you would have missed the 103-point effort that he put up if you didn't play him on a back-to-back night.
That's preposterous. He actually, he's like Le'Veon Bell, when he drives to the basket, just like tremendous footwork.
The Oklahoma City Golden State tonight, of course, at 10:30. Milwaukee Houston at 8. And you got a lot of high-priced players tonight.
Yep.
You look Davis is out, though, tonight, though. He's probably not going to play, right?
He's a questionable. Yeah. He's a slow healer. Yeah. I'm not going to play him personally. I'm not getting
him. No, you can't play him tonight.
So tonight we got Westbrook, Harden,
Cousins, Giannis, Durant,
Wall, Curry.
IT. Isaiah Thomas, too.
Dame Lillard. So it's a lot of
Lot of guys out there.
We gotta figure it out where we gonna go tonight because I'm back in. You know what I'm saying?
We're all back here.
Lineup lock is at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So
lineup lock the show. The lock.
The show. Yeah.
The lineups will actually lock
right here on Kyle Lowry gets
right here on the network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lowry.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the Kyle Lowry thing.
So I am so about Isaiah Thomas tonight.
Are you?
Oh yeah.
So you're not
the Knicks.
So you're not gonna play Westbrook then?
feel like
I'm not playing Westbrook tonight.
Are you playing Harden?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you got to have one of them.
I'm trying to play Harden and Antetokounmpo.
Jesus.
Nah, you know what?
I don't know if it's possible.
I may make more than one lineup because I feel like Isaiah Thomas is going to
go off
tonight. You're
going from 0 to 60 real quick
I feel like Isaiah Thomas is going to go off tonight.
Wait a minute, but the Westbrook, you see, the thing with Westbrook is going against Golden State, you know he's going to show off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's going to show off. He's going to go crazy tonight.
Well, what did he do last time he played Golden State?
Yeah, my only problem is what if they get blown out?
Yeah, it's probably
that's a consideration, yeah.
Has he not... Has he played Golden State yet?
It seemed like they've played already this season.
They did, right?
I would have swore that they did already.
I believe they did.
Giannis playing at a high pace tonight?
Yeah, of course he's playing Houston.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know.
Are you looking that up, Greg?
I'm looking it up. I was hoping you were just going to talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was a little bit stuck right here.
All right, here we go. I got some highlights.
You're stuck in the middle?
They played on November 3rd. Oh, that's an advertisement.
Oh, okay.
I apologize. They played on November 3rd.
What did Westbrook do?
Golden State versus OKC. Here we go. Summary. Sorry. November 4th. It was November 3rd, right. The final score of this contest was 122-96. Golden State defeated Oklahoma City for Oklahoma City's first loss. Russell Westbrook at 20-10-6, 4-15 from the field.
Well, what about two guys tonight from Charlotte, though? You know, going against Portland, Tony? What about Batum and Kemba?
This Batum and Kemba are both guys to play, but there's a million guards tonight, and I wouldn't be going with Kemba Walker.
I'm not going with Kemba Walker either.
Yeah, Golden State is 13.
I want some exposure to Charlotte,
tonight.
I feel like.
That over-under is 228.
There's a lot of guys to get in there. I don't know what to do.
You know what? A great play tonight in that Oklahoma City game, but DraftKings has done their diligence and have already adjusted.
Clay?
Enes Kanter.
I love Enes.
Against the front court of that Golden State Warriors, the one thing he could do, he should be able to exploit the size in that matchup with Adams out, but he's $7,000 tonight on I was surprised he had risen that quick on DraftKings, and I'm checking the price now on FanDuel.
6,300, 6,500 now on FanDuel. I'm sorry, 6,300.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Tony. Now that I'm looking at today's slate, and I'm looking at the lines and the spreads and stuff like that, I think Giannis and Harden is the way to go, if you can figure it out.
Yeah, which it's not going that well right now.
I don't know if you could do that because I don't know if you can afford that because I really want Jabari Parker in there tonight against Houston. I really like that matchup. You're going to have to go cheap somewhere. Where can we go cheap, Tony?
Ron Baker.
Ron Baker.
You get 12 points out of him.
Jesus. Ron Baker. That's the answer?
No, I was going through. He had 22 points in his first start, right? 22 fantasy points.
Yeah. It's true. Ron Baker.
Ron Baker is
playing Boston. 3,700 on FanDuel.
3,400 on DraftKings.
3,400? Well, maybe. Okay.
Yeah. Ron Baker for the New York Knickerbockers. Oh, my God. I'm going to put him in.
I'll take the hippie.
I'm going to put him in. Why is he a hippie?
He looks like a hippie.
Because he has long hair? Do you know where he went to college? Would you call him a hippie if I told you where he went? Where? If I told you where he went to college?
Where did he go to college?
Ron Baker went to Wichita State University.
Not a hippie. Wichita State.
He's a Shocker with Fred Van Fleet. He's from Kansas.
Did you know 95% of people in Montana speak English?
That's a high number.
Yeah, I know. I was shocked by it. And the other 5%... actually speak Indian tribal languages.
Oh, that's nice to know. That's good to know.
I'm giving my Montana update.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Florio, you just told me something I didn't know. That Carmelo Anthony did not know Ron Baker's name.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did not.
Ricky Henderson?
Because in an interview after the game, he was saying how Courtney Lee has played well this year, and it was a coach's decision to take him out. And then he said... But Burgundy came in and played pretty well too, referring to Ron Baker. So
maybe that's his nickname.
I don't know if that's a nickname.
Maybe that's what he calls him.
If he didn't know his name,
I read
it seemed
that story.
Like he didn't know his name.
I felt that like that's what his nickname was.
I like the Burgundy though.
I like that. I'm digging that.
Well, think about it. That's definitely his nickname. His name is Ron, right? Like Ron Burgundy, Anchorman. Come on, Florio.
All right. I mean, it seemed like he didn't know. He was like, oh, Burgundy. But
Corey, you've been monitoring Florio. Was that another flub on his part?
He's doing a good job.
Okay.
He's doing a good job. Huh. Interesting. You got you survived that one.
He's doing a good job.
Okay.
Tonight, if Porzingis is back, there's speculation that
he starts at center.
Yeah, center in tonight's game. So you could see the Cuz back in the lineup tonight.
Cuz isn't DeMarcus Cousins?
No, Madingus Kuzminkas.
Oh, Kuzminkas. Kuzminkas. Yeah, he'll be in the lineup tonight. And you would think.
Yeah.
He's interesting.
He can play a little bit.
He can. I was at that Knicks-Bucks game where, like, he had, like, 15 points, and not only could he pop from the outside, he's also nimble around the rim.
Kuzminskas played 38 minutes against Atlanta here, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals.
He's an interesting call. I like that.
Corey trying to find the crappy white Knicks to put in his lineup tonight.
He got a big abrasion under his eye in that game. He was like, he's a warrior. He's a warrior.
I'll probably go back to Damari Carroll so he can let me down again.
You like being let down?
I do. There's nothing I enjoy more, to be honest with you. All right.
I'm going back to Kyle Lowry tonight.
I am going back to Kyle Lowry, too. Yeah, mm-hmm. I just got to fill a few spots here.
I got the hometown. I like the home. I like the game at home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. These guys step up at home. Yeah. So we'll figure it out. We'll make it work. We'll get a little good lineup.
It's still very early. I mean, we're still.
Well, it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. the players haven't even woke up yet, and we're talking about
the players haven't gone to bed yet.
I'm looking at the
over. That's what I was thinking.
I'm looking at the over-unders for tonight. Bucks, Rockets, and Thunder Warriors have the highest at 227.
Yeah, we'll go
and then,
to
the
blowout factor.
The Grizzlies and the Wizards are lowest at only 205. Raptors and Sixers at 210.
But even it's going to be a high scoring night.
It's going to be a high. Yeah. You need to put up points tonight mm-hmm. in order to win. I'm almost done filling up my lineup here, Scott. I was just reading my lineup out loud, but I'm not going to do that because nobody gives a shit. All right, we'll take a break.
Why? You do that? You've done that before?
No, right? I usually just ask about players, and Tony fills it in for me. So I'm not going to ask him.
Right. So you don't ask Benny anymore?
I ask Benny off the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you were like peeved at him yesterday.
Oh, I was peeved at Benny. Yeah. I was peeved at Benny yesterday.
Why?
Because Benny told me to start somebody the other night that sucked. Cool. And Tony told me not to start him. I listened to Benny. Wow. So now I only listen to Tony.
Yeah.
You know, Tony's my man.
Until I go the other way.
Right, then I'll listen to Benny again.
We'll be back.
Recency bias.
Yeah, what do you think, Tony? What do you think of Kelly Olynyk tonight against New York? I'm trying to feel cheap to try to get some big guys in there.
He was good off the bench the other night, and he was a game-time decision. I know Tony's been talking about him.
Yeah, the problem with Olynyk, though, is when you take a non-starter, it is so game flow dependent, and he has to shoot the lights out. I think you could use him in a tournament, but it's not someone I would use.
All right. Well, he's 4,300 as a center, so, oh, wow, this is cool.
I'm upset the Nets aren't playing tonight.
Well, you got plenty of other dudes.
Because I want to take advantage of them again.
Whoa.
Damn. You know, who the guy I like tonight, but I can't believe his price is this high. He hasn't really done that much to get it to warrant this price tag. I was all Tyreke Evans. I thought with the injuries in New Orleans would get more playing time, and he's 5,900. That's a bit of a risk.
And there's only so many shooting guards you can play tonight. Of course, you like Giannis, you like Harden. I like Klay Thompson tonight. So, I like Nick Batum tonight.
What about Reggie Jackson for 7,000 on DraftKings?
It's not a bad play, but like
it's too high,
it's
right?
Too guards,
that's very expensive for Reggie Jackson. All right, let's take a break, guys. When we come back, we'll
Corey transition. Joseph, 3,400.
If DeMar DeRozan doesn't play.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah.
Actually, against Philly, he might not be a bad play either way.
Oh, that's a good point.
He might get enough playing time, right?
That's a very good point.
It's a nice contest. He'd get 20-plus minutes regardless.
That's a really good point. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to flip over to a little baseball now because I want to have a few poll questions we got to get answered and we got to discuss it. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. What's up, Corey?
Are we going to be today? Like, in the middle of the day? Everybody be here? Is this stuff up here done? That's what I'm asking, Greg. Without without putting.
Oh no, I think so. To be honest with you, I departed not far after you.
Oh, I thought you stayed down here.
You know, I did for a little while. Yeah. We cleaned the studio out a little bit. Myself, yeah. Mike Florio, Chris Pavona.
Yeah.
Had a little spring cleaning to do.
Okay.
Then I went and got lunch. Was like, you know what?
I can
work from home.
Yeah, you just headed home. Good job.
Talked a lot of baseball yesterday, and it was all thanks to you, Tony Cincotta. Put up some great poll questions on your Twitter, which can be found at TheTonyCincotta. So I wanted to go over a few of them that we didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday and continue on. Is that cool, Cor?
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
All right.
I didn't look at his Twitter feed, so.
Well, that's even better. That's good. So somebody else that we mentioned on Monday's show, we talked about Brett Gardner a little bit and how I hate him. I wanted to ask about Jacoby Ellsbury. This is Tony's poll question, should Jacoby Ellsbury be drafted in the first 10 rounds of your draft? Mr. Parson, what do you think?
Oh, man. I think Ellsbury bounces back this season. I think he has a better year. Is he a first 10-round player? I think we can get him later than that. I think he brings back the value of a top 10 round draft pick player. You want him to, health is clearly going to be an issue with Ellsbury, but he's a player that I've been looking at some sleeper lists and talking to some of my
sources
that I do fantasy baseball with.
Right.
And a player that they have told me that they would like to make sure they have some shares of, especially if he's going at a nice cheap price like he is, because people are going to be off of him, is Jacoby Ellsbury.
All right. So, sorry,
when I look up his information, I'm sorry.
So, I think it was last year, I was pretty in on Jacoby Ellsbury. Like, all right, I can see this guy have a good year just to stay healthy. But the problem is, with the Yankees, they don't run anymore. They don't want to run, and they don't allow Jacoby Ellsbury to run as much as he can. So, if he's not going to run, he's going to hit a couple home runs for you, he doesn't do all that much. To me, Tony, my vote would be no, he is not a top 10 round outfielder for me. Cincotta?
I agree with you, and you hit it on the head with he doesn't do that much, right, from a perspective. He had 9 home runs last year. He had 7 the year before, and he plays in that little bandbox, right?
Yep.
So if he comes up short of those 20 steals, which he's got the last two seasons at 2021, his batting average is .257, .263. We're talking about, what am I getting? What am I drafting here? Like, what categories? Even the guy that hits leadoff for the New York Yankees, 71 runs scored, that's not enough. 56 RBIs, there's really nothing to look at here.
Yeah, we were, in my opinion, it's not a 10-round guy either. I mean, we're talking about Gardner, and, you know, we just like 12-12 kind of guy. You know, now you're talking here about maybe a 10-20 kind of guy, though, but, yeah, he'll hit .260, .265. He's not going to hit 10 homers. He'll top out at 20 steals. There's no upside. He's 33 years old with a history of leg injuries. And when you get a history of leg injuries, too, you know, like that's where a lot of his problems have come in the past. You know, that's going to catch up with you later in your career. So I'm way off of Ellsbury.
Skills regressions look like they are abound. He hasn't been the player that he was in Boston, so. And like you said, I mean, really the advantage to his game, the advantage to picking him is the fact that he's the leadoff hitter for the New York Yankees. That has no value.
Is he the leadoff hitter for the New York Yankees? Should we don't know that. We don't even know if that's true anymore.
You think somebody else gets that
spot? I don't
see
it. I don't know anyone else. I can't. If you gave me the option, I can't even figure out who would be. Other than Brett Gardner, who I believe will hit ninth, I can't see anyone else.
Right. So I'm thinking they could put Gardner at leadoff and drop Ellsbury a little bit into the middle of the order, maybe, is what I was thinking. But I think at this point, he's just not good enough to be a top 10 round pick. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
No. And like I said, you're taking a shot on a 33-year-old player. If he doesn't get the 20 steals, like if he hit 10 home runs and stole 20 bases, which he can do,
sure,
and hit .270, you could say he's right on the fringe of that 10th round, right there. I mean, if you get enough guys that get 20 stolen bases, then you don't have to pick one of these guys that are one trick ponies.
Exactly.
So you could stay in it, but if he is topping out at 2021, that means there's no upside, and we could only go down from there. And then you're taking a huge risk.
Yeah, strip the name off the back of the jersey.
Right.
You just you know, there's nothing to get excited about. I mean, if Gardner and Ellsbury pretty much projected to be at the top of the lineup, and that's not too exciting. You know, you get to probably Gary Sanchez hitting third, Holiday's hitting fourth. You got Headley down in the lineup. Hopefully, you know, they got the first base battle. Aaron Hicks, you know, it's just like the Yankees outfield is just like you're making a face, and you know, like you smelled something bad.
Yeah, and because it eats something bad, right?
Yeah.
So
Silent Rob is Silent Rob is sending me pictures. It's like the old days.
Not of his dog?
No, not of his dog tone.
Also, while we're off topic, just a reminder to tune into Game Time Decisions at 2 p.m. Eastern today. Gabriel Morrissey's featured guest, Tom Brady Sr.
Tom Brady Sr.
Yes.
Tom Brady's pops.
Yep.
Shout out a good one.
Well, since clearly Corey was disinterested in that question, we'll take a break.
No, I love the question.
You loved it, and then you're telling me about Rob Phoenix sending
Silent
me pictures.
Silent Rob was sending us some stuff, yeah. So he's a homie, you know what I mean? Yeah. We still got love for Silent Rob.
Yeah, we'll take a break.
All right.
Sorry. Coming back, is Carlos Gonzalez still a top 10 outfielder? We answer that
right,
next.
I'm ready.
Are you back with me now, Corey?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. What is this called, Floria? Yeah.
This is called Amsterjam.
Amsterjam. You get
like
the joke?
That.
You get the joke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amsterjam.
Clever.
It's like Amsterdam.
I got it.
You know, I think I'm going to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's going to be fun.
That's where everyone goes to smoke weed.
They look in the windows. You look in their windows in the red light district. Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm not going to look in the window.
I thought you were going to be like, where's the door?
Yeah. I said, forget the window.
Ain't no window shopping.
Enter. Hurry up and buy.
Hopefully you get a Groupon, Corey, so it'll be cheaper.
That'd be nice.
2-for-1 special.
Yeah, I could do that. 2-for-1.
Yeah.
What do we got? We're talking about outfielders,
well, yeah,
right?
So I'm going to Amsterdam.
I got
some like museum stuff we got to do.
Oh, wow.
Amsterdam.
The Anne Frank House is there.
Really?
Yeah.
When is this trip?
In Amsterdam?
July.
Y'all staying for how long? How long y'all staying for?
We're going to Amsterdam for a few days.
A few days?
And then taking a train to Paris is the plan.
Scott, this is a big time trip right here, Scott. Nah. This is a big
Spain
time trip.
Spain this last year, Amsterdam this year.
So the thing
Australia
is.
Australia in the winter.
Who's all going?
Just Judy and I.
You're going with your girlfriend.
Okay, that's cool.
The flights are free. I'm using miles, right?
Just, okay.
You're using miles.
Yep.
So those are free. And then we're slumming, you know, hotel wise.
Okay.
Staying at the, you know, the W Hotel, of course.
Oh, the Dove. Yeah, the W.
I'm just kidding. We're not actually staying there. We haven't found the hotels yet because everything's too freaking expensive.
I can imagine.
Yeah. That's the plan. Scott, do you realize I'm trying to give you 6 months worth of jokes until I get back? And you have another 6 months afterwards.
Yeah, you got a year full of elite.
You got a year full of jokes now to make.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway. So
that's cool.
Amsterdam,
Paris, you know.
It's kind of a plan for the summer. You know,
when are you going to Tokyo?
Executive.
No plan. What's up, Tom?
I would go.
How do you feel about Sussman taking his girlfriend in Amsterdam? Doesn't that seem like a solo guy's trip?
That's bringing sand to the beach.
That's
sand to the beach.
Greg, we feel for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay.
Why don't you take Tony instead?
No. I don't go out of the country and participate in those actions. I want to come back in.
So, you know, you say that, and I actually haven't, like, booked the return flight home because I'm trying to, like I said, we're using miles, and, like, the flight, a good flight back with miles, like, hasn't popped up yet, basically.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know that I'm coming back, and I don't know if I want to.
Build a fantasy sports network studio in Amsterdam.
I mean, or France, that'd be fine. Or like anywhere I don't have to deal with, you know, what else is going on in this country.
In France, yeah. It is Tuesday.
45. The 45 start tweeting yet?
Tomorrow, man. Friday.
45 start tweeting yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just a couple of them.
Oh, there you go. Here we go. No wonder the Today Show on biased NBC is doing so badly compared to its glorious past. Little credibility. 45 is awake.
Tony asked, would you draft Yankees Jacoby Ellsbury the first 10 rounds of your fantasy baseball draft? 74% of you said no, you agree with us, which is good. All right, Tony asked, Carlos Gonzalez, is he still a top 10 outfielder? Scott, what is your inclination, sir?
Yeah, Fantasy Pros consensus ranks has him right outside the top 10 at 13. The isolated power was seriously down last year, and he started hitting more line drives as compared to fly balls last year. So I think he's kind of changing his game to where you still get a good average, but you know the power drop last year might not be an outlier. So you know the guy can still hit 290. I think he's kind of changing his approach, and in the past you always wanted him for the power and the speed. You know, maybe he is more of a 27 homer guy now. So I'm going to say outside the top 10.
Corey.
Yeah, I got him as an OF2 going into 2017. I don't think we'll get to see the home runs up past in that 32 to 38 type range. So that's an OF2. Also, in order to be a top 10 outfield, I think you got to give me double-digit stolen bases. Speed no longer a part of Cargo's game. But you still got to like him, obviously. He's playing half his game at Coors. Looks like he's kind of stabilized as far as the injuries go. So I think he's an OF2, but I don't think he's that far. Like if Scott said 13 is what Fantasy Pros got him as the consensus, I think that's about correct.
Okay. Tony Zagata.
You know, for all the people out there that give Corey a hard time about his baseball knowledge, he was very astute there. The problem with making this guy a top 10 pick in the outfield is the lack of stolen bases now. That you can't look at that 2-2 and 3. We're talking about a guy who steals 20-20-26. Without them, he's not. And that's the problem. He has put together back-to-back seasons where he did not have injuries after back-to-back injury season. So I don't think the stolen bases come back. I think the power could go up. I think we can get 30 home runs, 29 home runs there. We won't get 40, but not enough to make him a top 10 outfielder.
Yeah, I agree too. I would say no, and I think we look back at these guys, like Carlos Gonzalez, like obviously has a ton of power and has the ability to get really hot, but he just doesn't do all five categories anymore at this point in his career, and particularly the running. For me, he is also not a top 10 outfielder.
You got him as an OF2?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I think he's a fine OF2, right?
Like he's a top OF2, yeah.
Sure, yeah. So I'm fine with that. I don't want him as my first, though, right? No. So you guys voted here. A lot of people voted in this one. 72% of you said no.
Yeah, he is
not.
The public is off him.
He is not.
That's smart out. People follow Tony on Twitter.
Yeah. All right.
Cha-Cha follows him.
Well, not everybody.
I'm stuck again.
That's a pain in the butt when you get wrapped up into the court like that.
This is insane. I had
a court experience.
Scott, why are you letting him get tangled?
You had an experience, Tone?
Yeah, I pulled it out during the show, and Benny was left on his own, you know?
I want to ask you guys now about a possible first-rounder, right? We talked about past the 10-rounder, or Brett Gardner. We talked about Carlos Gonzalez being a top 10 outfielder. Is Trey Turner a first-round pick? Scott Engel.
No, not to me. It's just like, with Korea last year, you know, all that hype and everything being top five, it's just like, to me, like, look, I'm not going to tell anybody they're crazy for doing it, but I'm personally not going to do it because, you know, I need to see it more over a full season. And, like, you know, like I was saying with Gary Sanchez, you know, more gets exposed over a full season. I think I'm going to be passing on Turner, and like when I'm in auctions, I'm going to throw out his name and let other people spend the money
on
him. I just want to see it more before I feel safe, because that's such a pinnacle crux pick to me, you know?
But Corey, he does do a little bit of everything. He's that type of guy that's going to, you know, play a premium position potentially. And he has dual.
Will he have dual? He'll have third base, shortstop. Is that
second base outfield?
Yeah. Here's the thing with so, you know, young players tend to get scared away by young players, especially when they make a big jump early into drafts, into the first round like that. So the knock against him is going to be, well, it's unsustainable because last year the BABIP, that's batting average on balls in play. Nice one, Scott. Was 391. So they're going to, you know, you got to factor regression into his game. But those 45 to 50 stolen bases, speed is comes at premium pricing. So I got to say he is a first rounder.
All right. So Scott says no. Corey says yes. Tony, break the tie.
Absolutely, yes. And one thing on the batted balls in play, remember, this is a guy with a lot of speed, so his batted balls play will be higher.
Oh, it's on the ground, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it will be higher than in most instances, but will he hit 342? No, he'll probably hit right around 300. Strikes out 18% of the time. I actually look at this. If he hits 15 home runs and steals 40 bases, right, or 30 bases, let's just go 30 and be conservative here. Robinson Cano was a top three pick in his heyday.
Yes.
He has the opposite of Robinson Cano. He hit, instead of the 30 home runs, he has the 30 stolen bases, and he has the 15 homers, which Cano didn't steal any bases back then. Hmm. I really think when you take second base eligibility, and second base is a little deeper this year than it has been in the past, he is absolutely a first-round pick.
Yeah, and I think he's in for a big season. He's going to definitely be a guy that's going to be going out. Oh, it's going to be a hot name over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about him consistently. People going on to know, is the value true?
Huh? A lot of people are going to ask about
him. Yep, this is going to be, is the value true? When people start getting into it and they see him going in the first round, they're like, wait a minute, they're going to jump off. Then I guess we got to talk them back into why it makes sense. So, and then what is he in the auction? He's a $42 guy in the auction?
And also, hold on, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't he going to be shortstop eligible too? Because Daniel Murphy's going to play second base for this team, right? So Trey Turner's going to be shortstop eligible soon enough.
It'll take a little bit
right for
that, and then that will kick in there. The other thing is that if you like these Major League Baseball guys, Jim Bowden of SiriusXM actually said he would draft him number one overall.
Wow.
That he's all in on this guy.
Let me ask you this, as we're talking about the Nationals, Tony. Who is the Nationals' closer?
The Washington Nationals.
They don't have one.
No,
right? They don't have one because Mark Melancon was their closer. He's gone to San Francisco. They missed out on Chapman. They missed out on Jansen. They don't have one, I don't believe.
Sean Kelly.
Sean Kelly's not closing for this team.
Well, he
did last year, didn't he?
He only did until he got Melancon, right? When Pavelman got hurt and they.
So these Sean are the Kelly names: Sam Solis, Coda Glover, Blake Trinan. Right. Those are the names I'm looking at.
These guys aren't closing this team.
Kelly probably be the guy that I was going
with. This team's going to trade for David Robertson. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, Robertson's still out there. We know the White Sox are rebuilding. That would actually be a perfect fit.
Because I can tell you, none of these schmucks are closing for this team.
Good call.
Let's be honest.
Kelly did a decent job for them.
He's not a closer. Sean Kelly's not a closer.
Yeah, he's a guy who can get pressed into action.
Yeah, yeah.
And do the job.
Absolutely. He's not someone the Nationals are going to go into the season with.
I wouldn't be concerned. I wouldn't say that he's not a closer. He had 80 strikeouts in 67 appearances.
I just don't think the Nationals, remember, who traded for Melancon instead of going with Kelly. This is a team that, you know, plans to go to the World Series with this rotation, with their lineup. I don't think they're going to trust Sean Kelly as a closer.
He suffered an injury in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, he did have a hand injury in the playoffs.
So there you go.
To walk percentage, sixth best among qualified relievers last year.
And what's the book say about Trey Turner? Can I open it up for that?
Hold on, I'll take a look at that in a second. I was looking up Sean Kelly, the Fantasy Baseball Guy Professional Edition. You want to know what his...
Soon to be outdated.
let's see. Talk while I look it up. You know, Tony said it's never good to, like, you know, say I'm looking.
Oh, we've been trying to tell you that for 6 years. Yeah.
Where'd you see that on Facebook while you were trying to work?
Exactly. While I was trying to stay awake.
That is fake.
Trey Turner, $27. They have Matt. Chandler doesn't like him. Roto Rob doesn't like him. Pianowski doesn't like him. Flowers doesn't like him. Podhorzer. Likes him. Cooks likes him. Trackman likes him.
So half
the experts are split on him.
All right. Trey Turner currently being drafted number 8 overall. Is that being underdrafted? Asked Tony Sagata.
Projection, by the way, is for this year, they're projecting 20 homers and 56 stolen bases.
84% of you said no.
So how they don't like him? That's what they're projecting him at those high numbers.
Well, the guy who wrote the projections is not the same one.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, Chandler says, it's not that I don't think Turner could become a future star. It's just I see shades of Carlos Correa all over again. Small sample size, big hype, and ridiculously high ADP.
Scott Engel, who would you rather have, Carlos Correa or Trey Turner?
I'd probably go Correa.
Why?
Safety.
I've seen it already.
He saw half a year of Trey Turner. That was pretty good.
I'm going to see it over a full year. I probably wouldn't draft either one of them, though.
Why?
There's other guys I like better at that point.
Who?
You know, let me go through the first round here. and what spot are we talking?
All I asked was...
You got to add some context.
Well, there is no context. I said, who did you want? You said neither, so I think you had an answer.
I mean, if you had to give an answer, I'd say Correa, but, you know...
Tell me about you. Correa or Trey Turner?
I'm going to go Trey Turner in this one. And in the half season, go there. He got a better batting order career in there, but go there. Here's a name for you for the closer for the Nationals that, based on what I just read from the general manager.
Yep.
They've got a guy, Coda Glover, that could end up being the guy. A 23-year-old that's coming off a torn labrum in his hip, but throws the ball 98 miles an hour, and they love everything about this guy.
How much is the hip going to affect his motion, though, and his velocity?
Not at all in January. I'll have to.
It might be, actually, though, if he's throwing on the side.
By the way, interestingly enough, Carlos Correa, who was 20 years old in 2015, put up 22 home runs and 14 stolen bases in 99 games. Everyone excited about him. Batted .279, right?
Yeah.
In 2016, in 153 games, so a full season, 20 home runs, 2 less, 13 stolen bases, 1 less. Basically, in .274 batting average, basically the same line he put up in 99 games a year before. You said you are taking him over Trey Turner. You know what you got of Carlos Correa. Is that worth it, Scott?
I really don't want either guy.
Really?
I don't know why you don't want. What don't you like about
the first round?
Good players.
I didn't say anything about the first round. I just said which one we're going to have.
First round. Oh, neither one of them are first rounders to me.
Okay.
But, you know, if I'm in the second round and somehow both are available, you know, it's like probably go for the upside.
Would you start a draft with these two?
No, you wouldn't go on the upside turn. You just told me you're picking Correa.
Yeah, I changed my mind.
In a 15-team league, would you start a draft with Turner and Correa? Or you want more power?
I need more power. Yeah. A 15-team league.
Yeah.
You know what, though? It's not bad, though. When you look at that, it's because you're taking second base and shortstop and filling them up with those two players. And then what you do then is you get probably a pitcher in your next pick, and then you got to focus on making sure you get like a Mark Trumbo at that point.
Yeah, cheaper power.
One other guy that I actually like is one of Scotty's boys that I can get really late is Lucas Duda this year. Coming back from the injury, people will forget about him, and I'll get some power late from him. You know, Trey Turner's like 3 years older than Carlos Correa, and everybody, you know, that's the funny part when you look at some of these young players that eclipse them their way into Major League Baseball. He's 3 years older.
So true. Very, very funny. All right, we'll take a break. We got more poll questions for you from Tony Cincata, including, all right, Trey Turner, first round. Tony says yes. Scotty says no. Corey, where were you?
I said yes.
You say yes. He's a first rounder. What about Johnny VR? Is the second round too early for him? You asked me, Scotty, to give you another option between Carlos Correa and Trey Turner. Here's another option for you. Jonathan VR. Think about that during the break. We gave you a couple minutes to think about it. You wanted a replacement? You got one. Johnny VR led the league in stolen bases last year. Is he a second-round pick for you, Scott the King Engel?
I'm sorry. Who is that?
Jonathan VR.
Jonathan VR?
Yep.
Yeah, I had him on my team last year. It was terrific value. And like, now the expectations are really up. And, you know, he's got some pop with the speed, too. It's like I don't know. It's like some people think it came out of nowhere, but I remember our friend Brian Ambos like really talking him up in the preseason last year, and Cha-Cha really liked him too. Both of those guys were on point. 285 last year with 19 home runs and 62 stolen bases. You know, seemed like an outlier, but the talent was always there. I'm okay with it.
So you
no.
So hold on. So let me ask you this before you go into it, Tony. You're okay with it as a second round pick, right?
Yeah.
Would you rather have rank these guys, VR, Carlos Correa, and Trey Turner? Three guys that will be shortstop eligible in the first month.
Probably Turner, Correa, VR.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you told me a second ago you didn't want Turner or Correa.
I'm saying in the first round, I was saying.
You said there's going to be somebody else there for you.
I'm saying the original question was, were you a first-round pick? To me, no. But, you know, just asking me to straight-out rank him, that's where I rank him.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Tony, you said no. He's not a second-rounder for you.
No, what I'm saying is, to clarify, Scott is kissing ass to Brian and Cha-Cha.
They I'm like sorry. Only, I thought I only kissed your ass.
Hold on. No, you take it out of context. They loved him as a 20th round pick at the end of your draft.
I know. That's what I said.
Year.
They liked him a lot last year. You know, like at the draft.
Well, I give him credit. I mean, what credit was that?
I gave him credit because, you know, those were two guys who were talking him up and saying, you know, I absolutely love these guys for this guy for a dollar or two. And they were right.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that didn't. Maybe you didn't, Scott. Maybe you need to look in the mirror.
All right. I'm just giving the guys credit, you know, for making a good call there.
I'm looking at this.
I look in the mirror. I'm very beautiful.
There you go. Yeah. Stolen bases were down last year. So when you get a guy with this many stolen bases and he has a good batting average, you can pick him. In the second round, I don't see myself doing it. I think it's I don't think the home run numbers are going to be there, which we saw last year of 19. I think he'll get double digit home runs. It'd be the 10-12 range in that one, and I think he'd get 40 plus stolen bases. I think everything went well, and that batting average will come down a little too. So I don't think he can repeat any of the performances there. But with stolen bases, you could take care of that category with a guy again. At a good position, you fill it up early. You don't have to worry about shortstop. I think he's definitely draftable in the second round. But I think there's risk. Like I don't love it, that pick, and I wouldn't feel great about it on draft day.
It's one of those things you're going to hold your nose because you know you're paying for last year's stats.
Right. Exactly.
When you take him this early, plate discipline improved last year, so that's one thing that you like to see. But the home run to fly ball rate was like double what it was in the years previous, so that's going to be an issue. Don't do that, Scott. That's going to be an issue. That's going to be an issue coming into the 2017 season. So you see some regression there, but Tony's right. It should stay in double digits. But you're paying, the premium that you're paying for the speed this year. So in the second round, yeah, you hold your nose if you do it, but third, fourth round, if you can get that, that's cool.
80% of you voted that yes, he's being overdrafted by taking him in the second round, so you do not want him as a second round pick. I agree with you, Corey. It basically, you're paying for last year's stats, and stolen bases were obviously down last year across the league. Is he going to be the hitter he was last year, the hitter that he was in the years prior? I'm not saying a guy can't get better, obviously, but Johnny VR here, is he one of these guys in the second round? I would be scared to death.
Seventh round ranked overall at shortstop on Fantasy Pros.
The key is to go out this season and find the next VR.
That's right.
He does have multi-position eligibility.
Who is the next Jonathan VR? Does anybody know?
We got to a Marsh.
Ask Brian Ambos. Or I'll ask the mirror.
We'll take a break. Hour number three with Ray Summerlin, 9:30 a.m. Eastern comes up next. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.